I want to read one verse, really, in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. And it says, "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable free gift." And then I want to talk about something that I will talk about Jesus, of course, but I all want to talk about something that kind of helps as a story, really. It must be a couple of years ago now that you can use a certain thing called a non-contact voltage detector pen, and it's made by a company called Fluke, and it allows you to find out if a cable is live without actually testing that cable or having to touch it at all, hence why it's called a non-contact voltage detector. And it costs about £22, depending on where you go. But it's the first time ever I can say you can go and Google it and see it for yourself. But why do I want to tell you about this pen? Well, it's because I use that pen to check if something was live. But I also used it several times to check something if it was actually dead. Now, if you think about that for a minute or two, that means that I'm putting effectively my life in the hands of a pen which is worth £22. Now, £22 in the great scheme of things isn't worth that much. And you might think to me, well, Lewis, what's this got to do with anything? But think about that. That's what I put my effective life in the hands of something that costs £22. What do you put your life in the hands of? Is it maybe a car or something that you think will protect you or support you, or maybe it's pension, or maybe it's property, or whatever it might be? You might effectively trust something, and it might be worth £20, it might be worth £5, it might be worth £50,000, it might be worth £300,000. It doesn't really matter in one sense. My question to you is, if you've trusted something that might cost £20 or whatever it might be, would you trust someone who is given a free gift? And you might think, I don't really know what you're talking about. But Paul says here, thanks be to God for his unspeakable free gift. Now, to me, unspeakable free gift. What free gift has God given? And you might say to me, I don't think God's given me anything at all. And I suppose we could have a conversation about how God created the heavens and the earth, and God created humans and created everything we see. But if we get down to the crux of the matter, what if I said that God had sent his son into this world, and then say that he knew, and his son knew, that at the end of that road, he was going to be crucified? If you think about that, and you think about that for a while and think, well, God, he knew everything. He knew what was going to happen, but he still sent his son. And the Lord Jesus came freely. He came freely. He came on this earth as a child, as a babe in a manger. He grew up. He learned carpentry. He did everything that was right. He never put a foot wrong. And then you might say to me, well, why did he come in the first place? Well, if I say to you, he never put a foot wrong, that's probably the wrong thing to say, really. What I mean is, the Lord Jesus was perfect, was holy, and he was sinless. And I don't mean like how you might not outwardly sin, but you think something wrong or you do anything like that. What I mean is, he never thought a thing wrong. He never sinned in his entire life. That's what I mean. Whereas each one of us, we do things that are wrong. When we're younger, we might not do what our parents tell us to do. Or we might try and adjust what they said to suit ourselves. Or when we get older, things might change and we might not do what we said we'd do in school, or might not do what we said we'd do in university, or just simply, we might speed when we perfectly know what the speed limit is. And then there's other things where we don't do things we should do, or we put them off. These are all things that effectively are sins. And then there's, I suppose with sins, you always think of big sins like, well, murder, that's a big sin. I mean, but it doesn't matter to God. To God, because he's holy, whatever sin it is, however small we might think it is, to God it is sin. And say, God can't look upon sin. He can't. One sin stands sin because he's holy. And because of that, because of all our sins, our faults, God decided to send his son. And the Lord Jesus came. And as I said, he's gone through his life and he did everything perfectly, wonderfully, incredibly. Listened to God every day. And then he got to a point where when he was 30, for around about 3 years, he did everything he could for human beings. He healed people. He spoke to people. He spoke to them about God. He spoke to them about their sins. And sometimes he would say to different people, that their sins were able to be forgiven. And some of the Jewish persons of that day thought, who is this man that could ever say that? But the Lord Jesus was able to say those things and say them because he knew what he was going to have to do. He was going to have to go to the cross. and he was going to have to die on the cross. And before he got to the cross, he was humiliated in multiple different ways. He was humiliated by the Jewish people and rulers of the day. He was then humiliated by the Roman government of the day. And then, I mean, he was humiliated by the people because they allowed one man to go that was a murderer, because they hated Jesus and they wanted to crucify him. Another question I have, and it's more so for myself, but if I had been there, would I have looked at Jesus and seen one who was perfect, incredible, healed people, healed of someone's hand, made it back to how it was completely new? Would I have looked at him and thought, this is the man for me, I need him? Or would I have gone, he's too perfect, I don't like him? And then before I'd have known, I'd have gone, no, I hate him. But the thing is that we have the wonderful benefit of knowing the whole story of Jesus, which is that he went all the way to the cross, knowing everything, knowing what was going to happen, knowing how people would hate him, knowing that he would have to go on the cross and die. And the cross is a terrible way to die. Effectively, what happens is you become asphyxiated because you can't hold yourself up. What a terrible way to die. But the Lord Jesus went there. And this is about this unspeakable free gift. He went there for you and for me. He went there because he loves you and me. He loves you and me so much that he went to die. Our place should really be on that cross. But the Lord Jesus went because he loves us. And you see now you start to see the benefit of the whole story. Because the Lord Jesus is perfect, he's sinless, he's holy, and he loves us so much that he would die for each one of us. If this story doesn't get you in your heart, it doesn't make you feel that you just want to love the Lord Jesus more, I'm not sure what will. And I would say that I would feel very sorry for you if you don't feel anything in your heart when you think of the Lord Jesus going to the cross and giving himself for you and for me. If you feel something in your heart, that's a wonderful thing. If you don't, I would urge you to think about the Lord Jesus, think about what he has done, and just ask him. Ask him for help. We all need the Lord Jesus. We need him because he had to go there because of our sins. And because of that, He went in our place. And there's no other way. So as I said at the beginning, if it's something you put your trust in, whatever monetary value it might be, maybe it's not monetary value, maybe it's something else. Why wouldn't you put your trust in a person who's wonderful, incredible, holy, perfect, the Son of God, who has given his life for you? And it's free. There's not any attachment of money. You can't pay to get into heaven. You can't pay the Lord Jesus anything. Not in money. If you come to know him as a savior, you can thank him from your heart. You can thank him and give him praise and glory and worship. But you can't give him money. You can't pay. Think of that. That means that the gospel's open to everyone. Doesn't matter your background or if you have money, you don't have money. But it also means that it's a wonderful free gift. So my question to you is, if I can put effectively my life in the hands of something that's £22 and not really think about it, why wouldn't you want to put your life in the hands of the one who has died for you, given himself for you, done everything he could? You see, on the cross, it was bad enough just being on that cross, the Lord Jesus. The shame, the mocking. Think of that, the one who it says other in other ways. In other parts of the Bible it says that is the originator of life, and he was on a cross being mocked by people. But then there was 3 hours of darkness when he was on that cross. 3 hours of darkness where God took every sin that's ever been, that is presently and ever will be, and put it on the Lord Jesus. Think of that. But we can't really think of that at all, because we all know about sin. We all have sinned, but think if someone had never sinned, as the Lord Jesus didn't sin, he was sinless. Think about all the sin being put on him, every single sin. All the sins of myself, all the sins of each person that's listening. And then think of all the other billions of people that are on the planet today, and think of the billions that have been previously, and think of whatever might be the future. Think of that. How terrible that must have been. The Lord Jesus, we think 3 hours, 180 minutes must have been not that long. It must have been. We will never know what that really means to the Lord Jesus, to be made sin. But again, remember, the Lord Jesus did it for you, and he did it for me. He loves us that much. How far would you go for someone that you love? Maybe it was a family member. You would stand in the place and say, I would die for someone. Maybe a far out cousin. Well, maybe. Maybe further out, maybe friends, or maybe even further out, or when it gets to a neighbour, well, what would you think then? Well, I'm not sure. what would happen if you thought about someone on the other side of the world? Would you step in then? Possibly not. What happened if it was someone you didn't really like, never got on with, they rubbed you up the wrong way, or they really did something to you that really caused you a lot of problems? Would you step in then? I think at some point, every listener, every person that's listening to this will say, well, no, I couldn't go at that point. I don't think I would step in and say, I'll step in your place and I'll die for you. The Lord Jesus has done it for everyone. He loves us that much. Your heart must be moved by that. It has to be. So, the Lord Jesus did that, and he died, and he died on the cross. And you might think, well, that's a bit of a sad story, Lewis. He died on a cross, well, that's, but as we read, or as we looked at in the hymn at the beginning, that's not where it ends, thankfully. You see, the Lord Jesus had authority to lay down his life and take it up again. But the other side of that was that God saw what the Lord Jesus had done on the cross. He'd taken on sin and he'd finished it. He'd exhausted it. There was nothing more. And God saw what he had done, his beloved son, saw it in his son, saw the work he'd done. It was all finished, all completed. And because of it, he could raise him from the dead. So I don't speak of one who was dead and buried. I speak of one who's alive, who's living, who's at the right hand of God. So you see, it puts more weight to the point. If you can put your trust in something that might be monetary value, and maybe it was £22, maybe it's more, maybe it's something else, why wouldn't you put your trust in one who has given their life, one who has done everything they could, and one who now lives at the right hand of God. One who can help you every day. You see, at some point in your life, you will probably find you hit a brick wall and you can't get through something, you can't get over it, and you can't get round it. And the thing is, what are you relying on then? Is it things that are money orientated? Is it other things? Is it health? Is it whatever it might be? But when you get to possibly that point where the chips are down and everything seems to be against you, would it not be wonderful to have a friend? A friend who has done everything. A friend who has gone in your place and my place. A friend who loves you so much that he's given his life for you. Well, my answer to that is, of course. Of course you would want that. Of course you'd want someone, shall we say, in your corner, that has done everything, that still looks out for you, that still helps you, still supports you. Well, that person is the Lord Jesus. That person is the one who was at Calvary. That person is the one who's at the right hand of God. And that person is the one for anyone who's a believer, who's a Christian. That person is the one that they will see one day face to face. That's the hope that we have, seeing the Lord Jesus. But before we get to that point, we have him to help us every day, as a friend, as a guide, as a shepherd. And believe me, we all need a friend, a guide, a shepherd. And you can always remember, you can always think when things are going bad or not particularly great, that he's there. He'll help you, he'll support you. But also, you can always remember that he went in your place, he went in my place, and he gave his life for you and for me. That can help us in some of the dark days. It reminds us how much the Lord Jesus loves us. And it reminds us that he won't let us go. Because already, he's done that wondrous work. So I hope that the listeners of this, whoever they might be, that you take away, that don't rely on different monetary things or pensions or house prices or whatever it might be. Rely on the Son of God. Rely on him. Believe on him if you haven't. And he will help you and support you. And that you'll have that wonderful hope in your heart that one day we will see him. We'll look at him. We'll see his face, the one who has given everything. How amazing that will be. And then we will spend eternity with him. What more could you want? You couldn't want any more. So I do hope that is what you want in your heart. So just remember that God has given a wonderful free gift. And that wonderful free gift is his Son. Think about that. God has given more than I think we'll ever really appreciate in giving his Son. Think of those 3 hours. It was bad for the Lord Jesus because he was taking on sin. But think of his Father, God, in heaven, having to turn his back on his most wonderful Son, the one had done everything that he asked, the one that he found delight in. I don't think we'll ever truly understand these things. But it shows how much God loves you as well by giving his Son. All of these things, God giving his Son, the Lord Jesus allowing himself to go on the cross, giving himself up for each one of us, shows how much the Lord Jesus loves us, how much God loves us. I hope for everyone that's listening that this little message about the Lord Jesus and about what God has given in a free gift it might make us feel that we want to just give something back to God and to the Lord Jesus. So I hope for each one that's listening that you do know who the Lord Jesus is, and you know what he has done, and that you do trust him every day, and that you know for yourself that he's helped you when things have been tough, but also he's helped you when things have been good. So I hope that is the case, and that the Lord may bless the word.